I'm back with Gare. Woohoo! And I'm super excited. He had a really good topic idea and he had an awesome icebreaker idea.
Oh my god. I am so excited. I'm so excited for both.
I know.
And thank you very much for liking my ideas, because as you know, today was the day that I was like, maybe I'm a little dumb. Perhaps I'm a little stupid.
I'm glad I can help.
So I've been thinking about you a lot more than usual, because I have been binging the first two seasons of White Lotus before I start the third one. Mm-hmm. I watched them obviously before, but I just wanted to like revisit them before I started the third season in case of any like Easter eggs.
Right.
So what I was noticing when I was watching them is like both seasons have this incredible like ensemble cast. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know if you were responsible for casting the next season of White Lotus, who would you pick?
Do you want to go like back and forth?
Sure.
With picks?
Yeah.
Because I am intrigued to see if we have any similar ones.
Okay. Yeah. Mine are like all like, yeah, they're like all over the place.
Mine too. So the first person who came to mind for some reason was Pedro Pascal, because
I almost picked him.
he was just the first one. I was like, I need him in that setting, because so far we've seen him in very serious, dramatic roles most of the time. And I'm like, I need him on this sexy, silly show.
Yeah, and I feel like all of the interviews he does, like, where he calls himself daddy and stuff, like, he would be so good at, like, the comedic. And there's always, like, somebody who's, like, starts off in, like, one aspect and then, like, becomes, like, really attractive toward the end of it.
Yeah. I feel like he would be a guest. I feel like he'd be, like, a funny, like, maybe like a stoner, like a hippie stoner bro kind of thing, or like bohemian type character.
Yeah. I could picture him kind of being like Connie Britton's husband in the first season.
Oh yeah.
Like how he like started off kind of like silly and comedic, and then like his role got more dramatic as the show went on.
So bad. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. My first one, to no one's surprise, is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I would have guessed that one too.
Because I feel like there's like this resurgence of Sarah Michelle Gellar on TV, like with Dexter and like the new Buffy show that she's going to be in. And I just like could see her like playing like this really like funny, bitchy, like waspy kind of like woman mm-hmm. on the show, like kind of like a Connie Britton, or like I don't know, like a Connie Britton kind of character, I guess, but like mm-hmm. a little bit younger. But like I would love to see what she would do.
Yeah,
me too. And I actually saw an interview where somebody asked her if she would ever be on it, and she's like, I will do, like, if he wants me on the show, like I would 100% do it.
Oh wow.
Because she like loves him, so I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, she would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Oddly, the second person I thought of was Annie Murphy, who is Schitt's Creek for people. Yeah. Alexis. I feel like some people may not know her actress name. But I just feel that like she would be a funny, like, well, they're always exotic locations, so she couldn't be a local, but you know how like the two local girls in season three are like, or season two, or how many seasons are there?
Three.
And I'm in the third one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So two. Yeah. I am
Lucia yes. And
I can't remember the other name, but like, either. I feel like she would be really funny in that kind of a role. Mm-hmm. Like fucking with the guests or whatever, but she would, I just feel like she'd be so cool on that show.
That would be so good.
Mm-hmm. Pedro and Annie were the second you said it, those were the two that came up, and I was like, huh, okay.
I love that. I mean, I obviously listed Sarah Michelle as my first pick, but like my first one, and I even have it in all caps, drum roll, Toni Collette.
I'm glad I'm not saying my guesses, but yes, 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 yes to that.
I like, she's in like United States of Tara. She was in, I think it's called Unbelievable with Caitlin Dever. And she was in one of the Knives Out movies.
Yeah.
The first one. But like her character in Knives Out, she's just so good and she can do anything. And I absolutely love her. And I want her to have like a pretty calm role until she like loses her shit in the end. Like she does in the movie Hereditary.
Oh my God.
She's like, that look on that fucking face on your face.
Yes.
I'm your mother. I want her in everything, obviously, but like, I just think that she would be so fucking good in White Lotus.
Yeah. She'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
That scene in Hereditary is just unreal.
She's so good.
She goes there.
And I'm like obsessed with her in United States of Tara. Have you ever watched that?
I never watched that.
She has like multiple personality disorder, but she does such a good job at playing every single personality that like and she can like switch really quickly. It's phenomenal to watch. And the show is also really good, but
yeah. I need to watch it because I do like that concept. But because you said that, I'm going to skip to one of mine, Tatiana Maslany, who plays all of the orphans on Orphan Black. Same thing, where like I just respect her acting so much and don't see her in very much other stuff. But she played, I think, 11 or 12 clones by the end of it. And they were all so distinct. And then sometimes she would be one clone trying to pretend to be like the other clone to like pull something off. And she, like, you could feel the other clone underneath the outfit. And like, whew. I love that show. And I'm just like, he could use her in any, like, she could be in any of the roles.
Right, she could play any character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so good. Okay, I'm gonna bounce off yours because there's somebody who I feel like is very underutilized in Hollywood. Sandra Oh from Grey's Anatomy. I would love to see her in this because I feel like she's an amazing actress.
Yes.
But she's such a, like, you and I discussed this about Lucy on Tell Me Lies, but like Sandra Oh is such a good facial expression actress. And I feel like with how she is in like dramatic roles, she's incredible. But like also her facial expressions, she would be such good like comedic relief at some points.
Yes.
And I would love to see like what she would do in The White Lotus.
I agree. That's a great one. You watched Killing Eve, right?
I haven't.
Oh, wow. You're missing out.
It's on my list, but
nice.
I bounce through
That's okay.
phases and moods when it comes to what I'm watching. So who knows when I'll be in the Killing Eve mood.
Well, a show that we both have watched that I also thought of, I need Issa Rae on White Lotus.
Hell yeah.
I just need it. I almost envision her as like, you know, like Bo's on Beverly Hills Housewives now. Like a really super successful businesswoman, like maybe traveling alone.
I could see that.
And then like we just find out all kinds of things about her that we like, maybe she's not what she presents as at first.
I could also see her doing like the Natasha Rothschild role.
Yeah.
Where she like works at the White Lotus and then she's like, these fucking rich white people are crazy. But she's another one. Yes. She could play any role, you know what I mean? And like make it her own and also like believable.
Yeah.
She was actually on my list, but I had an idea. And so I replaced her with somebody else.
Nice.
But my next one is Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala.
Yes. Like,
oh, he would be so
True Detective. Moonlight. Like, I feel like he is so, so talented that like he would be like, I love our pick so far, but like he would be like the standout.
like, he would.
The Emmy winner at the end of it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's so good.
He's amazing. Catherine Hahn.
My God, that is so good.
She just has to go.
I wish I thought of that.
I feel like she would be funny as Staff and like really making fun of, like, just talking mad shit, like giving all the gossip. Like, basically we're following her character for the gossip that she like finds and passes on.
And like, she's also like kind of done a role similar to that with like Bad Moms.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she works in the spa and like she's really funny between like what she's saying to herself and then like how she presents herself when there's like a client.
Yes.
So that's amazing. So my next one would be Jonathan Bailey. Oh, you're muted.
My dog was barking. Yeah. I thought about him too and almost included him after Pedro.
I just want him to be part of a gay couple. Mm-hmm. But like, I would want them to be like, I want him and my next pick to be like this gay couple that is like super toxic and like maybe like tries to have like, not toxic in like a dramatic way, but toxic in like a funny way. Like maybe mm-hmm. where they get in like little like tiffs, or like they decide like they're gonna have like their first like threesome at the White Lotus, mm-hmm. or like have like a thruple moment or something and like have like shit go awry.
I love that. Now I want to know who your next one is. So my next one actually is John Turturro, because I'm watching him in Severance right now. But he could body a role, like any of them, for White Lotus.
He was incredible in The Night Of.
Yeah. He was so good in that.
So good.
I haven't thought about that in a while.
It was a Pop Culture Jeopardy clue the other night. Yeah. And I was like, fuck yeah.
That's amazing.
He would be so good. Oh my God. He would be so good. I could see him doing like the Murray Bartlett role in like the first season. Like the manager.
The manager. Yeah. He'd be great for that.
He would be so good. Well, somebody I would love to see that I think would like be incredible as Jonathan Bailey's like boyfriend is Lee Pace.
Which one is he? I need to look him up.
He was in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Okay. I'm gonna recognize him then.
He's super good looking. And
oh yes. Okay.
I also watched this movie the other night that has Sarah Michelle Gellar in it. And it's like she has like this perfect husband and like his like bad boy brother, and the husband and the brother get into a car accident and they both go into a coma, but the brother wakes up and is like, I'm your husband, and she's like, stop dicking around, basically, like, you know, like, you're not my husband. And he starts like saying all of these things that only her husband would know, like, remember this vacation when this happened, and like all these things. So like she thinks that like her husband's like soul is like trapped in the brother's body, and Lee Pace is like the bad boy brother, and he was so good in it that I was like, oh my God, I would love to see that.
Nice. That movie sounds good too.
Yeah, it's very good. It's called Possession.
Possession. Good to know. So I think Kieran Culkin would be amazing too.
Jesus, you are fucking crushing this.
Thank you. I feel like we both are.
Oh my God.
I mean, I know in A Real Pain, he just played like a neurotic traveler. Not even neurotic, but no, he didn't play. That was more Jesse Eisenberg, who I also think would be great, but I'm not picking him.
I hate Jesse Eisenberg.
You hate him?
I hate him with a passion. I just had a conversation with a friend about this like 2 days ago. Uh-huh. Like, he was like, have you seen this movie with Jesse Eisenberg? And I was like, I do not like him. And he's like, but he's so good. And I was like, he is talented, but I feel like his facial expression in every movie is the same, where he like looks like he just woke up first day on Earth. Like, he always has, like, a very confused, I don't know what's going on in the entire, oh, like, funny. Not only the world, but, like, my life.
Look, yeah.
His face, but.
Well, good thing I didn't pick him. I picked Kieran.
Imagine I'm like, meh. Kieran would be so good.
Yeah. I don't know. He'd probably be a funny, like, tech bro.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the guy that, like, shows up, like,
and is, like, yelling on his work calls in the morning.
Yeah, and, like, maybe, like, not prepared, like, thinks that he's gonna go on, like, a hike in, like, boat shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was just in a book that I read, and I thought that was, like, really funny.
It is.
My next one is Mason Gooding. He was in Scream 5 and Scream 6, and he's in the most recent Heart Eyes movie. And he's not, like, super well-known, but I feel like he would be, like, the underdog character. Like, he is so charming in Heart Eyes.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how much my crush on him, like, immensified because of this. Like, he's so charming in that movie. I could see him kind of being, like, the Ethan character of, like, season 2 that was married to Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I just think that he would be so good, and he's so sweet, and I love him, and I want him in everything.
I love him. Yeah, he's hot.
Mm-hmm. He's so good. Yeah. Well, yeah.
As soon as he's like, part. I'm just staring at him right now.
Yeah, I know. He's so good.
Well, another one I thought of was Mia Goth. She would be amazing. Also, kind of like, it would be cool to see her as, like, a local who's, like, trolling people, but she could do anything.
She could be, like, the Lucia of, like, whatever season, like, wherever we go with this cast.
Yeah. Oh
my god, she would be so good.
Yeah, Mia Goth and Annie Murphy as the, like, duo would be so funny.
That's okay, so that's really funny that you say that, because when I thought of, like, Mason Gooding as, like, the Ethan kind of character, I think Jacob Elordi would be really good.
I kept
good.
Waiting for you to say him.
That's I thought he would be really good as, like, the Theo James kind of character.
Yes.
Where he's, like, the douchebag, but he's, like, super hot, and, like, he just, like, thinks the world revolves around him. And I'm, like, also, like, fingers crossed, because he's really shown off his acting chops and, like, a lot of things, but, like, Euphoria being on HBO.
Right.
And White Lotus being on HBO, I'm like, maybe they could make it happen.
Yeah, like Sydney.
Mm-hmm. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like you need, like, some, like, bro hunk. There's always, like, a lot of, like, thirsty looking men on White Lotus.
White Lotus is very gay.
Yes.
God
bless Mike White.
Yes, God bless him.
And the twist would be that I would be a guest star and have the threesome with Jacob Elordi and Mason Gooding, and Jonathan Bailey and Lee Pace would not get their threesome.
That would be wonderful for you.
I know. And then they'd be, like, fighting over who marries me. Oh my god.
Yes.
Mike, call me.
Yes. Did you say one after Mia Goth?
Jacob Elordi.
Okay, so you were saying Jacob Elordi. Okay.
Cool. That was a sneak attack. I, like, saved him toward the end.
Right. Well, when I thought of Kieran, I also thought of Brenda Song, who is, she's, like, famous on Disney Channel, but, like, the character she played on Disney Channel, if you knew her, you'd be like, oh my gosh, London, the character she played, needs to be at the White Lotus as well. She would have to be some, like, totally out of touch rich girl, because that's what she is there.
I've seen TikToks of her in that new show with Kate Hudson, and she's so funny.
Yes.
I think she's married to Macaulay Culkin, though.
You're right, but it was what made me think of her.
Yes. That would be so good, because there's always, like a Megan Fahey, like somebody that you're not like super familiar with, but, like, really, like, does, like, a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good.
Yeah, her character was so funny. It would be nostalgic.
Well, speaking of nostalgic.
Ooh.
One of the things I love about the first two seasons is Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, yes.
Who has been, like, iconic since the American Pie movies and, like, Legally Blonde. And so I was, like, thinking, like, we need somebody else like that who could, like, maybe do more than one season that's, like, also, like, iconic from, like, the 90s and stuff. Mm-hmm. So to play somebody similar to, like, her character, I would do, or I would pick Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, my gosh. She acts, too.
Yeah.
Acts. Oh, my God. Yes. She'd be amazing.
Yeah. So she does like a lot of like the Chucky movies.
Okay. Yes.
But like she did a movie called Bound with Gina Gershon and like she's like incredible in it. Like I think she was like nominated for like an Oscar or something. Wow. But she's just like so funny and I like love her voice and I love her personality and I think that she would be so good as like a ditzy like rich woman who's just kind of like confused about having to do things for herself.
Yes, I agree. If I were going to cast that role, I would say Jessica Lange needs to be in White Lotus.
So good. So
like good. And again, she can do anything. She could be the manager. She could mm-hmm. be a rich widow with a secret. Like,
ooh, yeah.
She could do any of it.
That would be so good.
I know.
I feel like we could do this every week. Like every week until the day I have I could pick
so
like
so many.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I was torn between Zendaya and Jessica Lange for my last one. But then when you said that one, I was like, okay, I want to include Jessica Lange.
Well, you can include.
I'm going to include Zendaya too.
And
she can do anything too.
Yeah. And you know what I don't know why this just popped into my head, but like one of my favorite movies is The Help. And I love Sissy Spacek in it. And I could see her on The White Lotus too.
Yes. Yes.
Like playing that exact character.
I agree.
Oh my God. That would be so good.
Viola Davis would be fun. It'd be fun to give her. It'd be fun to give her a comedy to like play around with, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's oh my God,
she's iconic.
I'd also love like a throwback to like having like Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman playing sisters.
Ooh, that would be good.
Like kind of like throwback to like Practical Magic.
Yeah, Sandra also always. I feel like Julia Roberts looks like she could be her sister too.
Julia Roberts would be so good as like a Connie Britton sort of character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that would be so...
We need him to write like 15 seasons of this show.
Right? Amy Adams would be really good.
Yes. I had Ted Danson.
Ooh, yeah.
Joan Cusack would be...
Joan Cusack is Joan Cusack is the best out of all of our picks.
I think so.
Joan Cusack is... Oh my God, that is fucking incredible.
Yeah. She...
Do you know what?
She would have so much fun.
Like, do you know who I also think of is, do you remember the second season where they had, like, the father, the grandfather, and the son trio? Yes. When he was fighting with his wife on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
The wife is actually voiced by Laura Dern.
Oh.
And I was like, how fun would it be if she was in it? And, like, maybe, like, there were, like, scenes where, like, she's calling him and, like, maybe now her ex-husband, or they reconciled or whatever, and like he could do like some voiceovers, and that would be like a fun little Easter egg.
That would be cool
because Laura Dern would be fucking
she'd kill it
insane.
Yeah,
Laura Dern would be insane. She would be so good.
I also had Florence Pugh just because she can do anything.
Yeah,
she was so talented, and she's like a chameleon for all her roles.
Yeah. Oh my God, she would be so freaking good.
Christopher Walken and John Turturro together on Severance is like a treat. So like it would be repetitive, but it would be hilarious for them to be on like a trip together.
I love when they do that. I love when they have character or like two actors that like reunite and like play different characters. Michelle Pfeiffer would be good. Michelle Pfeiffer would be so good. Oh my god. There's just so many.
Yeah.
There are so many people. I would love like Kathleen Turner.
Mm-hmm. It's such an accessible show too. I think that's part of it.
Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess we should eventually talk about books.
Yeah, we can talk about books.
But that was a great one. That was fun.
Thank you. That was fun. That was so fun. I loved that. And if you do want real casting news, by mm-hmm. the way, Sharon Stone is going to be in the third season of Euphoria.
I saw that.
Like
what?
You are merging two of my favorite worlds together.
It's going to be the best season.
I'm obsessed with her. So, so if you have any popcorn left over from binging White Lotus or any of your favorite TV shows, we are going to be talking about popcorn thrillers.
Mm-hmm. We are. I'm not going to lie. When I started like picking them at one point, I was like, because it's the point is kind of that they're like not dark, but they are thrillers. So like. There were a couple that I was like, should I include this one? And I literally Googled the definition of it. And it was like, doesn't deal with heavy or sad themes. But like, I don't know. Some of them are still going to have some sad themes.
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like subjective. Like you can kind of think whatever you want. But like, I was thinking about that too. And then I'm thinking of like some of the like popcorn thrillers that like I've... that are like your classic, like everybody talks about this as a popcorn thriller. And I'm thinking like mm-hmm. Freda McFadden, which her books can get dark.
Yes. You're right.
The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. Like what is darker than waking up and your mistress has like been stabbed 30 something times next to you. So intense. As far as I know, if it's just something that you can't put down and it's really like fast paced and like, you just want to like binge cover to cover.
Yes.
Consider it a popcorn thriller. You know,
yeah, that's
The Shards is not a popcorn thriller.
No.
I'd say there's probably a page limit. Like I'm thinking like around like a 300 pager. Right.
Yeah, not much more than 300.
Yeah.
I agree. So that's what we have for you guys today.
Mm-hmm. Our favorite popcorn thrillers.
You want me to start?
Hell
285
yeah.
pages. I'm fitting our model. All of her books are fantastic popcorn thrillers, but If You See Me by Audra McAlier, so addictive. When Leighton Marks is taken at a festival in front of her loved ones, police are quick to label it a random trafficking incident, but Leighton's husband Owen and her ex-best friend Marnie suspect there's more to the story. After Marnie meets Sarah, who saw something at the festival that doesn't add up, she starts looking for Leighton herself, only to discover secrets and inconsistencies surrounding her disappearance that grow deeper and more complicated by the minute. As Marnie continues to search, she receives threats by two parties with conflicting agendas, and she must decide whether she should risk it all to find her friend, or she thinks it would be better for everyone if Leighton stays gone after she learns the whole twisted truth. Ooh. There are like so many secrets. There's a lot of like long-term friend backstory, but like betrayals and all kinds of stuff going on.
That book was so twisted.
So twisty.
I loved it. Her books are so much fun too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I was like looking at my list and I was like, okay, all of these pretty much have like a dark element to them.
Oops, I know. Sorry. I think mine do too. And I was just like, well.
But I'm also like, these
I didn't pick like The Good Daughter.
Imagine if I was like, my first one's The Good Daughter. No, but I also was like thinking and I was like, okay, some of these do have dark elements in them, but I'm also like, they're not as dark as the stuff that I usually recommend. Exactly. So to me, they are a popcorn thriller.
Exactly.
So with that being said, my first one is Return to Midnight by Emma Dewes.
Good one.
Is that on your list?
No, but I did see it, okay. And I was like, that's one.
Okay. All right. That's the one I was nervous that we were going to have the same one.
No.
On the anniversary of a savage mass murder, a survivor returns to the scene of the crime and all its buried secrets in a twisted novel of suspense. Nearly 10 years ago, 5 Ohio University students were murdered in an off-campus Victorian home. The media dubbed it the Midnight House Massacre. Ever since, survivor and novelist Margot Davis has wanted to forget it and never again utter the killer's name, until she's compelled to write her side of the story. To do that, she's returned to the Midnight House. It'll be a chance for Margot to reconnect with other survivors, heal the trauma, and dispel the ugly conspiracy theories of obsessed true crime fanatics. When the news of Margot's book gets out, she receives a threatening note that demands that she stop lying, or else. It chills Margot's blood, because she hasn't been telling the whole truth. As the threats continue, each more sinister than the last, a journalist comes to Margot with new suspicions about that brutal October night. Now, to save her own life, Margot must reveal her well-guarded secrets, one that, for good reason, she's been too terrified to share.
So good. Oh my
God, I was so
very creepy. Good.
So creepy. Halloween theme, like, creepy house. Dual timeline.
Yep.
Which I'm obsessed with.
Same. Ugh. Yeah, it's a good one.
I think about that book so much.
So good.
So good.
Well, mine goes from fall vibes to summer vibes. Because one of the best popcorn thrillers I read this year, or kind of like last year, but recently, is On the Surface by Rachel McGuire. Sawyer Stone III and Danny Fox, a young couple who spend their time circumnavigating the globe aboard their 42-foot sailboat and documenting it for their fledgling YouTube channel, Sailing with the Foxes, have anchored in Exuma in the Bahamas. As they wait for the price of crypto to rebound so they can provision and continue their journey, they're partying and exploring with their fellow cruisers offshore. On the surface, everything looks perfect, but one night, Danny vanishes after a boat party, and Sawyer has no memory of her disappearance. The search for Danny is initially fueled by concerns that she drowned during one of her daily ocean swims, but Danny's pre-scheduled video posts recorded before she went missing soon reveal a darker side to her relationship with Sawyer. Meanwhile, Royal Bahamas Police Force Inspector Veronique Knowles has her hands full trying to keep the investigation on course as the story of the American woman missing in the Bahamas goes viral and the internet sleuths unearth secrets from Sawyer's past. Sawyer Stone is far from perfect, but is he a murderer?
Damn.
It's just like, you think popcorn thriller, you even think like a cover like this.
I love the name Sawyer so much.
It's a cool name.
I love the name Sawyer. I still need to read that one. That's like definitely more summer vibes though, so I have plenty of time to read it this summer.
Yeah.
Being that it's only 30 degrees here today.
Yeah, it got up to 60, it's 70 outside here.
It's supposed to get to 65 here this weekend. That's what I'm dealing with, is it being 30 degrees and then like jumping up 35 degrees and like whatever.
That's great.
Speaking of hot.
Nice.
Imagine being stuck in a bonfire.
Ooh.
Because my next one that I just finished recently and I'm obsessed with is You Killed Me First by John Mars. This is the most addictive, crazy, twisty, diabolical thing that I have read in a long time. And like, I just, the dialogue and like some of the shit that happens, you will belly laugh before your jaw's on the floor. So like, highly, highly, highly recommend. It's the 5th of November and a woman awakens to a nightmare. Bound and gagged, she lies trapped in the heart of a towering bonfire. As the smoke thickens, panic sets in. She's moments away from being engulfed in flames. How did it come to this? Rewind 11 months, Margot, a faded TV star, and her long-suffering friend Anna watch as glamorous Liv and her flawless family move into their street. The three women soon fabricate the perfect pretense of friendship, but each harbors their own deadly secret, and newcomer Liv senses something is terribly wrong beneath the polished exteriors. As cracks widen in the veneer, perfection and lies escalate out of control, tension ignites. Bonfire night is approaching and someone is set to burn, but who will it be?
You have me all kinds of excited about this one.
Oh my god, it is chef's kiss. The only thing I will say, I feel like Margot is definitely not a former TV star. She's more of a pop star.
That's weird.
So, like, that's why I was, like, reading that synopsis. I was like, this is the synopsis that was on Goodreads. But, like, I will fully let you guys know Margot's, like, storyline is that she was kind of in a band similar to, like, S Club 7. Nice. And shit goes crazy from there.
Shit goes crazy.
Shit goes crazy. That's crazy. So if you read this one, my recommendation, like, it's probably going to be, like, slow burning for the first 50%. It's more like you kind of feel like a Desperate Housewives kind of vibe. Mm. But then, like, at 50%, your jaw is just going to, like, be on the floor. And it is relentlessly fast-paced from there.
Wow. I'm excited. I'm definitely going to read
it. It's so good. It's so good.
I'm finishing Girl in 6E right now. And then maybe I'll be able to pick that up.
Another fucking stunner.
Right? Okay. This one gets all kinds of crazy, too. And it's called This Girl's a Killer by Emma C. Wells. I can't stop talking about it, guys. It fits so many of our topics. So
yeah.
Cordelia Black loves exactly three things. Her chosen family, her hairdresser, worth every penny plus tip, and killing bad men. By day, she's an ambitious farmer rep with a flawless reputation and designer wardrobe. By night, she culls South Louisiana of unscrupulous men, monsters who think they've evaded justice until they meet her. Sure, the evening news may have started throwing around phrases like serial killer, but Cordelia knows that's absurd. She's not a killer. She is simply karma. And being karma requires complete and utter control. But when Cordelia discovers a flaw in her perfectly designed system for eliminating monsters, pressure heightens. And it only intensifies when her best friend starts dating a man Cordelia isn't sure is a good person. Someone who might just unravel everything she has worked for. Soon enough, Cordelia has to come face to face with the choices she's made. The good, the bad, and the murderous. Both her family and her freedom will depend on it.
Dum, dum, dum.
This is like if the book Blood Sugar and the TV show Dexter had a feminist baby.
Yeah, and that baby's first ever toy is a butcher knife.
Is a knife.
Fucking knife.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Cordelia
was so sassy.
I know.
So sassy.
I want a Cordelia in my life. I'm not going to lie.
Maybe you already have one. Yeah, you guys have to read that one. That's such a fun book.
That's the one I was torn on, but I'm like, it's campy. So, like, it's not just totally dark. This fits. It's a popcorn thriller.
Yeah, it's also kind of like bloodier, funner version of, like, Finlay Donovan.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't read those at all.
Well, now you know.
Okay.
They're a little cozy for you.
Exactly.
They're a little cozy for you. If you want something unhinged that's not fucking cozy whatsoever, I will never stop talking about this book. I'm obsessed with it. The Teacher by Freda McFadden has some of my favorite twists in a thriller. It is like just chef's kiss for me. I guess check trigger warnings if you need to, but like it's Freda McFadden. Like it's just going to be like batshit crazy and off the wall. Lesson number one, trust no one. Eve has a good life. She gets up every day, gets a kiss from her husband, Nate, and heads off to teach math at their local high school. All is as it should be. Except, last year, Kasem High was rocked by a scandal involving a student-teacher affair with one student, Addie, at its center. But Eve knows there is far more to these ugly rumors than meets the eye. Addie can't be trusted. She lies, she hurts people, she destroys lives. At least that's what everyone says. But nobody knows the real Addie. Nobody knows the secrets that could destroy her. And Addie will do anything to keep it quiet. Dum dum dum.
Dum dum dum.
I think it's like said. I don't. Oh my god, I'm so obsessed. I still think about the ending, and there's like this like very cinematic scene that like just stays in my head. But like I also like, I don't know why it's not in that synopsis, because it's like very well known that the reason that she starts to freak out is because the student Addie, who is accused of having an affair last year with a teacher, is like in her husband's class this year. So she's like, I don't trust this little bitch. And that little bitch doesn't trust her. So
damn.
It's just so diabolical. Messy. It's probably one of my favorite, like, there's a reveal in the end of this book that's probably one of my favorite reveals that I've ever read. And like,
wow.
And you know me, like, I will be like, I love a book, I love a book, I love a book. And then, like, you'll talk to me about the ending or something, and I'll be like, I don't remember that. But, like,
yeah,
there's no way that, like on my deathbed, I will be like, do you remember when this happened in the teacher?
Yes. Like, this is what I'm clinging to.
Yeah, this is, like, what, like, I will be like, put this on my tombstone.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So good.
Well, I have no segue.
imagine,
because my next one is The Astrology House by Corinne Jade. Margot needs a minute. She's been working 80 hour weeks as a newly minted partner at her law firm. She's disconnected from her brother, the only family she has left, and she's still not pregnant after years of trying. Stars Harbor Astrological Retreat promises rest, relaxation, and wisdom for Margot and her friends. With Instagram-worthy views and nightly astrology readings in an impeccably restored waterfront Victorian house, this getaway should be nothing but idyllic fun. For Margot's brother Adam, it's the perfect opportunity to rekindle the romance that fuels his writing, but his wife Amy hides the darkness of her past with a beautiful social media feed. Their friend, Farah, is a successful doctor who cannot admit she's losing control. But no one holds a greater secret than their astrologer host, Rini. She has a plan for all her guests, and one won't be leaving Stars Harbor alive. Bonus points, if you love astrology, the book will be enriched by your love for astrology. If you do not know much, it will just be fun to learn about it as you read it.
I like... I'm so horrible. Like, my friends will be like, oh my god, Garrett loves astrology. And I'm like, no. Garrett loves Gemini facts. Like, I love Gemini astrology when, like, Gemini memes or, like, stuff when it's like, this is a Gemini. Because I'm like, that is typical me. But, yep. Like, I cannot look at somebody and be like, oh my god, you said that? That's totally Scorpio of you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't do that. So, like, that would be a really fun one for me to read.
It's very fun. It kind of feels like... It feels like a housewife's like trip gone wrong, which is partially the inspiration for it, because she's a big housewives fan.
Oh my god!
Oh, actually, I had her on the podcast.
I should look and see.
Oh my gosh! Every single book I chose, I did not do this on purpose. I had them on the podcast. Oh my god! All five that I picked, not on purpose.
I love that you had that. I thought my big reveal was going to be that, like, 4 out of my 5 you can get on Kindle Unlimited.
Ooh.
But your big reveal is like, oh, I know, I've interviewed all of mine.
I'm like, damn. I thought I was randomly choosing them.
I need to see if I can find this at the bookstore.
The cover is so cool. I love
July 8th.
July 8th
is when the paperback comes out in Canada.
Oh, the paperback.
So, and they don't have the hardcover in stock. Yeah, he's like, that's some bullshit. So, my next one is a book that, when I say popcorn thriller, this one had to pop into my mind because I was so addicted to it and I loved it. But, like, I also went out and met friends for drinks and purposely left early so I could come home and finish it. Like, I was like, oh, like, I'm, like, kind of tired. And I was not tired. I just wanted to come home and finish the book.
I get that.
And it is The Final Act by Lisa Gray.
Mm-hmm.
It has been 20 years since Madison James had any kind of success in Hollywood. Now she's disappeared, and a TikTok sleuth has found her purse discarded in a Los Angeles park. The news spreads like wildfire across a nation hungry for celebrity tragedy, and the struggling actress's mysterious disappearance quickly becomes a national obsession. Detective Sarah Delaney and Bob Moreno of the LAPD Missing Persons Unit take the case. But truth is a rare commodity in Tinseltown. Some people will stop at nothing to get what they want, and Delaney and Moreno soon find themselves mired in Hollywood's dark underbelly with little in the way of clues. As revelations from the past emerge, it becomes apparent there is more going on than meets the eye. With an obsessive public watching every step of the investigation, can the police find Madison before she becomes more than just missing?
Da-da-da. Dun dun dun. I've got to read this one.
Oh, dual timeline. Dual timeline, girly. Mm-hmm. It's so on point with not only like the toxicity of the true crime community, which, you know, yep, I'm obsessed with that in a story. Celebrity like obsession and like pop culture. There's like other aspects in it that I'm not gonna say because I would think they're a spoiler, but like it's just so good.
Yeah.
And it's very twisty.
Bonus. Even better. Bonus. So. Well, speaking of toxic true crime, Bruce is going to read this one with me. Speaking of toxic true crime communities, my last one is The Lake of Lost Girls by Catherine Green.
I love that book.
Such a good one. It's 1998 and female students are going missing at Southern State University in North Carolina. Gare's holding it up for our video people who are watching. But freshman Jessica Fadley, once a bright and responsible student, is going through her own struggles. Just as her life seems to be careening dangerously out of control, she suddenly disappears. 24 years later, Jessica's sister Lindsay is desperately searching for answers and uses the momentum of a new chart-topping true crime podcast, 10 Seconds to Vanish, that focuses on the cold cases, to guide her own investigation. Soon, interest reaches fever pitch when the bodies of the long-missing women begin turning up at a local lake, which leads Lindsay down a disturbing road of discovery. I'm reading this to my dog so that he doesn't bark. So that's why I sound like I'm reading to a child. In the present, one sister seeks to untangle a complicated web of lies. In the past, the other descends ever deeper into a darkness that will lead to her ultimate fate. I'm a little slap happy. I'm having to pet my Pibble so that he doesn't bark, but this one is amazing. It has really great mixed media. The podcast element is fantastic. The timelines are amazing. The ending is very dark. This is another one where I was like, is this a popcorn thriller? But I was like, yeah, it is.
I haven't seen a bad review of it, so like I would
that too.
Lot, I mean, it's like, so addictive.
It's very addictive.
I don't think that the ending to that is like super dark.
Okay. Well, yeah, not like, but like it is. I'm just imagining like the people like, but you know what? The people who really can't handle it aren't reading popcorn thrillers though at all.
True.
Yeah.
True. Like there's a huge difference between a popcorn thriller and a cozy mystery. So like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Reader beware.
Yeah, I don't need to act like I'm talking to cozy mystery readers.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
I don't think I could. I don't think I could enjoy it.
What's that meme where it's like, this would like what's one thing that would like kill like a kid from the 1800s and they're like, oh, a Diet Coke.
Yeah,
have you seen those memes? Mm-hmm. Like that's like for us, like what's like one thing that would like terrify a cozy mystery fan is like listening to this podcast but like also like reading any of our recommendations.
Yes, he'd be like, oh my god.
Like especially my diabolical last little pick here.
Ooh.
I recently finished and absolutely loved Count My Lies by Sophie Stava. Mm-hmm. This was like one of the like definition of a popcorn thriller for me because like I thought that I was going to dive into like maybe 50 or 100 pages and I read 250 pages in a night. Wow. I just could not put it down. I was like addicted. I had to like physically force myself to go to bed. And it's actually labeled as a read in one night suspense thriller narrated by a compulsive liar whose little white lies allow her to enter into the life and comfort of a wealthy married couple who are harboring much darker secrets themselves. Sloane Caraway is a liar, harmless lies mostly to make her self-proclaimed sad little life a bit more interesting. So when Sloane sees a young girl in tears at a park one afternoon, she can't help herself. She tells the girl's very attractive dad she's a nurse and helps him pull a bee stinger from the girl's foot. With this lie and chance encounter, Sloane becomes the nanny for a wealthy and privileged Jay and Violet Lockhart, the perfect New York couple with brownstone, a daughter in private school, and summers on Block Island. But maybe Sloane isn't the only one lying, and all that's picture perfect harbors a much more dangerous truth. To say anything more is to spoil the most exciting, twisty, and bitingly smart suspense novel to come out in years.
Boom, boom, boom. I've got to read it. I keep seeing good reviews.
So good. I loved it. It was so wild. I was like cracking up. I could see your arms flying out of my peripheral vision.
He just keeps getting further away from me.
It's like, mom.
He's like, that was the last book. I know it.
Yeah. He's like, if that wasn't, it's going to be five instead of six. It's going to be. Yeah. Like There's last way. Week. We were like, well, we guess we'll stop at four.
I know. This is like 2 weeks in a row.
He's like, it's spring, bitch.
I know. It doesn't mean I want to be outside. I don't like it out there.
Everyone, when you are done binging The White Lotus and you have your leftover popcorn, I hope you enjoy all of our picks for your favorite popcorn thrillers, and let us know on social media which ones you are excited to read and what your favorite popcorn thrillers are. See you next time.
Thank you. The second time my dog has ruined.